Alhamdulillah wakafa wa salatu wa salamu ala nabiyyihi al-mustafa amma ba'd faqad qala Allah tabaarak wa ta'ala fi al-Qur'an al-Majid ba'd a'udhu billahi minash shaitaanir rajeem bismillahir rahmanir rahim ya ayyuhan nas qad ja'atkum maw'izatun min rabbikum wa shifaa'un lima fi as-sudur wa hudan wa rahmatun lil mu'minin qul bi fadlillahi wa bi rahmatihi fabidhalika falyafrahu huwa khayrun mimma yajma'un Alhamdulillah. It's through the infinite grace, through the infinite mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that number one, He's made us believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَ أَحَدَهُمُ الْمَوْتِ قَالَ رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ, that when a disbeliever will be passing away, when death approaches one of them, they will then say at that time, رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ, O my Lord, return me to the world. Imagine an individual who's been disobedient his entire life, led a life of insubordination. Yet despite that, at the time of death, he will say, رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ, O my Lord, return me to the world. What's the reason? He'll say, لَعَلِّي أَعْمَلُ صَالِحًا فِي مَا تَرَكْتُ, so that I can do good in the world which I left. One scholar mentioned, in fact, Ibn Abbas al-Lawan's opinion is, when he says, لَعَلِّي أَعْمَلُ صَالِحًا, so that I can do something, so I can do good, this is in reference to just accepting the kalima, لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, كَلَّا إِنَّهَا كَلِمَةٌ هُوَ قَائِلُهَا. Never. These are just mere words that he will say. These are just mere words. Meaning, if this person, even, were hypothetically speaking, returned to the world, he still wouldn't accept iman. Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you and I the ability during our lifetime to accept this kalima, la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. And this kalima, it's one thing about it, it's something Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the ability to accept that which is self-evident. Meaning it doesn't require much. There's one developmental psychologist, Dr. Olivera Petrovic. She's got a paper, she's got a few things that she's written on this. That, you know, her studies show that children, her study showed that children are naturally have a natural inclination to believe in a God. Her studies show that children are naturally born. It's not one of the arguments that people present is that belief in Allah is or belief in God is taught. That's what people espouse. But she argues in there through her studies to show that there's a correlation or there's an act from her studies that children are born naturally attributing something to a higher power, belief in God. She proves that. This aligns with our belief of the fitrah, that children are born with a natural inclination towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To such an extent that the ulama have a discussion that, you know, مَلَّمْ يَبْلُغْهُمْ رِسَالَةً, the people that the message of Islam doesn't reach, what's their responsibility? The people that Islam doesn't reach, what's their responsibility? So one opinion of Abu Hanifa, one opinion of his, is that their responsibility is to accept, is to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yet if the message doesn't reach them of prophethood, they don't have to follow that. But every person has the ability to accept belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They can come to that through a rational conclusion. So that becomes their responsibility. And in the books of Aqidah, they generally discuss that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, life is a test. He's made life a test. And once He's placed us on the earth, there are many harmful things, there are many beneficial things. And for the most plausible way for mankind to be rectified, for them to be guided, they need prophets. Meaning, through experience you may learn, but the problem with that is there'll be many, many harmful things in the process. So the most plausible way for individuals to be successful or to be guided, it requires individuals to help them navigate, meaning prophets. And every prophet that was sent, the one that was sent with different sharia, different rulings, etc., Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent them with miracles. Meaning if a person says he's a prophet, how are people going to accept them? They need to prove that they are prophets. So there were different prophets were given different miracles, and they were given pertinent miracles, meaning miracles that were relevant to their time. For example, Musa alayhi salam, it was a time wherein magic was very strong. So the evolution of the stick into the snake, parting of the sea. When people witnessed all of this, it was something aligned with what was ongoing, in the sense that the miracles were much more aligned. For example, Isa alayhi salam, during that period, medicine was on the rise. And he was curing the leper, the blind, So something, a very, very pertinent miracle. The people related to his miracles. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for our nation, we are the final umam. We have no more prophets that are going to come after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are no more prophets. So to the best of prophets, he revealed the Qur'an. Now the Qur'an was revealed in the best of months, Ramadan, through the best angel Jibreel. And the difference between the miracle of the Qur'an and the other miracles of the other prophets was that every other prophet had him, the miracle that they had was time-bound. Meaning you had to be present to witness the miracle. If you weren't there at the time when Musa alayhi salam's stick became the snake, you were relying on testimony. You never witnessed it, you're relying on somebody else's testimony. Isa alayhi salam's curing of the leper, of the blind, you were relying again, unless it happened to you firsthand or you witnessed it, you were again relying on testimony. Yet to the last nation, because we have no more prophets to come, we have a timeless miracle. Our timeless miracle, the protected, unchanged miracle, is our Qur'an. And throughout every generation, we can test it. Meaning, the miraculous nature of trying to copy, imitate the Qur'an, the challenge remains in every generation, remaining the timeless miracle. You know, I mentioned that it's protected and it's unchanged. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, إِنَّا نَحْنَ نَزَلْنَا الذِّكْرَ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ, that we reveal the Qur'an and we are its protectors. So, I just wanted to explain one part over here, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised its protection. Now, who He uses for that protection, utilizes for that, that's up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have young huffaz that memorize the Qur'an. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used many throughout generations, different individuals to preserve the Qur'an. Give an example of one young boy. Whilst the Qur'an was being revealed, he was in a village situated a slight distance from Medina, but he couldn't reach Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to learn. And he wasn't mature enough to go to Medina on his own either. He was a young child. So what he would do, people that would leave from Medina caravans, he'd intercept. It's narrated in Bukhari. He would intercept, and he'd ask them that, have any new verses been revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And every time somebody would mention yes, and they'd mention the certain verses, he'd memorize them. A young boy. To the extent that he had memorized a good portion of the Qur'an. Now you imagine, this is a young boy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using him, as he mentions in the Qur'an, وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ, that we are its protectors. That throughout every generation, young children, to the part that they grow older, they continue memorizing the Qur'an. Even if, it won't happen, hopefully. Even if people try to burn every Qur'an, doesn't make a difference. You couldn't burn it from the hearts. How many huffaz do we have that could replicate it? How many huffaz do we have? You look at this sahaba radiallahu anhum. When the Qur'an was being compiled, it came a point that many sahaba, the huffaz were passing away when they're going in the battles, they were passing away. So the question then came is now, how we need to gather the Qur'an. Umar radiallahu anhu eventually convinced Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu to do it, and then they used different sahaba to gather the Qur'an, and again it was then in Uthman radiallahu anhu's time. But just imagine, that how it was gathered, why different all the different sahaba coming together to say that we require minimum two individuals to say that this verse, at minimum two people, and everyone has to be aligned to get the verse and to get the entire compilation of the Qur'an. Imagine that, our protected, unchanged Qur'an. And it's such a thing that even if somebody tried to change it today, that imagine the resistance that would be felt. It's not like the Bible, it's not like the Torah, it's not like the other books, wherein they'll change the verses. And people are readily, they'll be happy to change it. You know, the rulings will change. People do that today, they'll be denounced. People will leave them, form a heresy, straight away. That's one of the things that we have about our thing, it's protected and it's unchanged. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Qur'an describes the Qur'an as four things. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ قَدْ جَاءَتْكُمْ مَوْعِظَةٌ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ. What is the Qur'an? Number one, it's an advice. Throughout the Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is advising us. In all different walks of life, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was giving da'wah to the people. As he's giving da'wah to them, they are turning away from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is consoling Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَلَقَدْ نَعْلَمُ أَنَّكَ يَضِيقُ صَدْرُكَ بِمَا يَقُولُونَ. We know that your heart grieves because of what they say. فسبح بحمد ربك وكن من الساجدين. Glorify your Lord. فسبح do تسبيح وكن من الساجدين and perform صلاه do سجدة meaning perform your صلاه. واعبد ربك حتى يأتيك اليقين. Continue worshiping Allah until death comes. Meaning your responsibility is to make effort. How is that an advice for you and I? Life is filled with challenges. We can't convince people. Our responsibility is to make effort. The Quran is an advice, and throughout different points, when you read it, it'll relate. My first new Muslim that I had, when I asked him, you know, what every individual that you have, then they're near the line. There's a line where you're about to accept Islam, but you need something to push you over the edge. I said, what gave you the edge? What pushed you over to accept Islam? And he said that I was suffering, you know, he was in COVID. He was suffering, he just didn't know. He was looking for meaning, looking for purpose. He couldn't find it. Then one day somebody gave him a Quran. He left it in the corner of the house somewhere. And one day he decided to open up the Quran. And he said the relatability with the Quran. I want you to think, no individuals can suffer. But you open the Quran and you read Ayyub alayhi salam's story of how he was ostracized. Everyone deserted him, other than his wife. Everyone deserted him. And despite that, he's saying, رَبِّ أَنِّي مَسَّنِيَ الضُّرُّ وَأَنْتَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. Oh my Lord, difficulty has afflicted me, but you are the most merciful. Imagine at that time where you're at the lowest point, but despite that you have the humility at that point to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, you are the most merciful. To turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Relatability. You look at Sulaiman alayhi salam, who has such sovereignty. Of Sulaiman alayhi salam, where not only did he have the winds, but the jinn under control. Think of that. Despite that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning, اِعْمَلُوا آلَ دَاوُودَ شُكْرًا. Oh, the family of Dawood alayhi salam, do shukr, be grateful. Does it make a difference how much wealth an individual has? Shukr is always there, gratitude is essential. It relates to every different point. A person involved in da'wah, looking at Nuh alayhi salam's story, and mention the Qur'an. Different points. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did three themes of the Qur'an or mentioned that different points of the Qur'an for us to relate. Number two, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions وَشِفَاءٌ لِمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ. It's a cure for the hearts. Not just physically, well, number one, spiritually, but not just spiritually, even physically. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum, one narration Bukhari mentioned that they were traveling and they came across some people and they wouldn't host them, meaning for food, except they wouldn't host them. But somebody was bitten by a snake or a scorpion, and they asked them that, is there a healer amongst you? So the one, I think it was Sa'id ibn Khudri radiallahu anhu, who said, who mentioned yes, and he began, so the Sahaba radiallahu anhu looked at him, and they looked at him and they're like, until today we've not known him to be a healer. So if he does something, we are in trouble. So he then said, yeah, I'm a healer. And then he went and he recited Surah Fatiha. Eventually he was cured. They looked at him and said, you know, you risked that. Anything could have happened. And he said, I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioning that Surah Fatiha, there's a cure in Surah Fatiha. So therefore I read that. In fact, one scholar, Ibn al-Qayyim rahmatullahi alayhi, was in Makkah at one point during his lifetime. And the doctors told him, there's no hope. There's no recovery from this. So he just began reciting Surah Fatiha continually. And he writes that, to the point, you know, when they said that there was no hope, I just continued reciting Surah Fatiha until I was cured. And he continued writing, continued thinking until death came to him. But he recovered from that illness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions number three, wahuda. The Quran is a guidance. The Quran isn't just something to be read. You know, we find that it's good that it's recited. It's good that it's listened to. We enjoy the recitation. But the Quran is a guidance. It's something to be lived by. And we are that sort of nation. In fact, Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu mentioned something quite profound. That we were a people, إِنَّا صَعُبَ عَلَيْنَا حِفْظُ أَلْفَاظَ الْقُرْآنِ. That it was difficult for us to memorize the Quran. For us today, nowadays, with the Quran in front of us, it's easier to memorize. But he mentioned that it was difficult for us to memorize the Quran. وَسَهُلَ عَلَيْنَا الْعَمَلُ بِهِ. But it was easy for us to act upon it. وَإِنَّ مَنْ بَعْدَنَا. Indeed, the individual that will come after us, يَسْهُلُ عَلَيْهِمْ حِفْظُ الْقُرْآنِ وَيَصْعُبُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْعَمَلُ بِهِ. It'll be easier for them to memorize, but it'll be difficult for them to act upon it. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu mentioned that. And in Umar radiallahu anhu mentioned something very similar. He said that many people will be able to recite, لَا يَغُرُّنَّكُمْ مَنْ قَرَأَ الْقُرْآنِ. Don't let the person who recites the Qur'an deceive you. Those are words which he's reciting, meaning he's rewarding. Without a doubt, reciting the Qur'an is rewarding. But what the true aspect, the true understanding of the Qur'an is, وَلَكِنْ يُنْظُرُوا مَنْ عَمِلَ بِهِ. Look at the individual who's acting upon the Qur'an. Meaning the reciters will be many. Those that will live by the Qur'an of you. The Qur'an, I want to finally end on 3 points. I'll send the five rites, I'll send on the reminders group. If you join it, I'll send the five rites. But I'm going to just highlight three. Three rites of the Qur'an, they're broad. Number one, first right is the Qur'an is recited and it's recited correctly. Number one. الَّذِينَ آتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابَهُ يَتْلُونَهُ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ. Those that recite the Qur'an and they recite it as it ought to be recited. Name any book that for every letter you recite, you're given 10 rewards. مَنْ قَرَأَ حَرْفًا مِّنْ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ فَلَهُ بِهِ حَسَنَةٌ وَالْحَسَنَةُ بِعَشْرِ أَمْثَالِهَا. That for every letter that is recited, 10 rewards. Imagine the spirituality that's been gained by reciting the Qur'an. Number one. Number two, the Qur'an is not just to be read, but it's to be understood. The Qur'an, as I mentioned, is a guidance for mankind. It's a guidance, it's a mercy for mankind. It's going to be a mercy once we understand the message of the Qur'an, the Qur'anic message. What's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us? Number three, acting upon the Qur'an. It doesn't end in Islam by just listening, by mere talks, by, you know, having good intentions. Acting upon that, the third right. Now my message is, on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, after Asr Salah, whatever's going to be recited that night in Taraweeh, we have about 15 minutes, a synopsis, an overview of what is going to be recited on Tuesdays, Wednesdays and Thursdays. It's an opportunity for you to understand the Qur'an. That's one. Number two, find classes. You know, there are many opportunities now for you to build tajweed. If we're not reciting the Qur'an correctly, we don't want to be individuals that we're reciting the Qur'an curses us. One of the rights of the Qur'an is that it's recited correctly. There are many classes available. If you can find it online, many different opportunities. Join a class and try and improve our recitation of the Qur'an. It's the month of the Qur'an. In our timetables, incorporate something that I'm going to recite some portion of the Qur'an. If I can recite a juz a day, target that. If I can't do that, half. If not, quarter. If at the very minimum we can't do that, at least target a ruku. At the very, very minimum. Target some form of recitation in the Qur'an, of the Qur'an during this month. It is the month of the Qur'an. Finally, to end on the three points. Number one, join a tajweed class. Improve our tajweed. It's a right of the Qur'an. Fulfill it. Number two, understand the Qur'an. On Tuesdays, Wednesdays and Thursdays after Asr Salah, whatever's going to be recited that night in Taraweeh, we have an overview of those verses that I mentioned after Asr Salah. And number three, reciting the Qur'an. Incorporate in your timetable some part of the Qur'an that is recited. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all tawfiq.